Today, I want to talk to you about God's witness protection program. Did you know that God had a witness protection program way before the FBI or anybody else ever did? Oh, yeah, he's got a witness protection program. And I'm going to share that with you today. And I'm going to encourage you to enter in to God's witness protection program. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures, but why don't you start to turn over to Revelation chapter 12, and I'll catch up with you. Just get yourself there, because there's going to be a verse there that I want you to highlight or underline or write down someplace, you know, just so you've got it. You can think about it in the future. But for now, I'm just going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 to start with. And I have a question for you before I read this. Have any of you been in any battles lately? Have you been in any battles? I've been in some battles lately. How many of you come out of a battle sometimes feeling like somebody knocked you in the side of the head because they did? You know, or you feel like that, you know, maybe you won, but you're good and tired afterwards. I mean, there is something to winning and feeling good about winning when you're tired. But, you know, we fight battles, don't we? And here's the thing. I think sometimes preachers like me maybe cause a problem here, because you need to know that the battle is where you belong. We sometimes are spending all of our time trying to talk people out of the battles. Right? We're trying to tell you how, you know, how you can never be in a battle, and how you can, the Christian life is just so good. Oh, it's a hallelujah all the time. And by the way, it can be. You can be hallelujah in the middle of the battle, but let me just share a few verses with you before we get to the witness protection program verse, so that you have a balance to this a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, just go pull your hammock up and just relax behind the house on the hammock, just under that big shade tree with a lemonade. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many. Here we go. In the presence of many witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Witnesses. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It's funny. 1 Timothy 6, 12, and now Ephesians 6, 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? How many of you like wrestling? I didn't get a real enthusiastic response. I love wrestling. I'm a wrestling guy. I like watching wrestling. Not really. It's okay. Whatever. 2 Corinthians 10:4. 10:4, good buddy. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Here we are again, another warfare verse, another battle verse, another verse that says we're going to be in a fight, another verse that sounds like, I don't know, maybe you look forward to fights. But I don't know that I look forward to fights. But maybe I should. Oh, that's a thought. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, before we missed a week of church, and I think I was introducing Kurt at the time, and I mentioned that I wanted to give you something, and at the time I said next week. I thought it was going to be last week, but now it's this week. But I wanted to give you something that would help you beat people up. How many of you think you should be in warfare and you should be beating some people up? Now you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know, Pastor Tim, that sounds kind of like, that doesn't sound good. Well, but there is a difference between beating people up and beating people down. This is just a play on words to try to get us to think a little bit. What if we started to actually do things in a warfare manner that started causing people to be raised up. But we're doing something that's also maybe disarming them, maybe taking away the weapons that they've been fighting with to re-equip them with better weapons. Weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. How many of you know somebody's got a stronghold? Yeah, me too. There have been a few in my lives, and my life, and there probably will be one or two more, potentially, if I'm not careful. I can get myself in a position where there's a stronghold that has hold of me. Romans 12:20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Yeah, that's how you beat people up. That's how you do it right there. You beat them up. You give them something that they don't want you to give them, and they feel more beat up after you give them the kindness and the goodness of God because they can't come back at you and do what they want to do. They want to justify being angry. They want to justify smacking you because you don't agree with them. Have you ever been in that position? I've been on, let me move this out of the way. It's in my way. I'm going to move around a little bit today. Warning. Maybe I won't move around too much. It's funny because I've been on Facebook and said something that somebody took completely wrong. And then I go back in and I type something and they realize, oh, maybe I wasn't agreeing, but I wasn't being disagreeable. I wasn't being mean. You know, somebody comes back at you with, how many of you know what an ad hominem is? An ad hominem attack is, we don't like your point, so we're going to talk ugly about you. You know, we don't like the point that you made, so we're going to say you need to do something about your ugly hair. You need to dress better. You're not all that in a bag of chips. But I have my opinions. And so sometimes I go back in, and if I'm really smart, and I kind of lean into God, I can start heaping coals of kindness on somebody, and they don't know what to do with that sometimes. But it's a battle. But it's actually kind of a fun battle. So we're always going to have battles. But we are called to be overcomers. So if you're in Revelation chapter 12. Whoops, I'm not there yet. Wait. One more verse, I think. Yeah, one more. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You getting this picture? You want to beat somebody up? Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When you do good to somebody, you literally beat them up. Have you ever had this happen to you? Because I've had it happen to me. I say something, somebody wants to get in a fight about it. Instead, I do something good to them, and they stomp off. And then later, they come back up and they apologize. Am I the only one that's ever had that happen? I don't think so. Sometimes they come back and say, well, you know, I was having a bad day. It's okay. It's cool. You be good to somebody, and by being good to them, you beat them up. You bring them out of where they're down, and you bring them back out to the upside of things, and they have time to think about it. Because if you curse them as they're walking off, they have reason to never come back. But if you bless them, then they end up coming back. Okay. So this year I've been feeling the need to put the emphasis on your ministry. How many of you have noticed that? If you haven't noticed it, go back and listen to all the messages. They're not super long. First one of the year was talking about what you're ordained to. And if you haven't heard that, that's a really good word. Second one of the year was about you being stewards of a ministry that God's given you. I don't know whether you realize this, but he didn't leave you behind to make money and live happy. He didn't leave you here so that you can just walk around and try to make yourself happy. And by the way, you'll fail every time. You're not going to make yourself happy. Your spouse is not going to make you happy. Not always. Not every moment. How many of you ladies have had a husband who hasn't made you happy once or twice? Oh, none of you. Oh, my wife's, ooh, ooh, ooh. And that was yesterday. But anyway, yeah, this morning probably, yeah. So we've been kind of leaning into this idea of what your ministry is about, because I believe, and if you go back and listen to those messages, or remember them if you heard them already, or go back and redo them because you might need to hear them again, I think you'll find that you're encouraged to enter into the joy of the calling of God on your life, and that's where you have joy. So even when you're fighting the battle, when you're in the middle of the battle, if you know you're there because God put you there, it's a whole lot different than if you're just there out of confusion. And I have fought quite a few confused battles. So I want to make sure that I'm in the middle of what God wants me to be doing. So look at Revelation chapter 12 now, and I'm going to start with verse 10, just two verses here. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So now who are we overcoming? Well, this is when you read the overall context, it's Satan, the accuser of the brethren. We're overcoming somebody. And what are we overcoming? Well, we're overcoming his accusations. Some of them are lies, but the truth is sometimes that they're not lies. Have you ever noticed that? The devil will tell you the truth sometime and it really hurts because he knows he's got you in a rut and you can't get out. And then he tells you how unworthy you are. Satan's the accuser. And you know why he accuses us? He accuses us so he can shut us up. He brings accusation to try to stop us and keep us quiet. Because if he says, oh, Tim, you didn't do so good the other day. You did not represent me well. Things came out of your mouth that you shouldn't have said when you hit your thumb with that hammer. God can't really use you, Tim, because you're not worthy. Well, this is a tactic of the enemy. And in our text, this from Revelation, we see something really interesting because there are two weapons in here for overcoming the devil and his schemes and his lies and his accusations and all the stuff that he's doing against. There's two weapons. One, by the way, I think is more of a defensive weapon, and the other one's an offensive weapon. Defensive weapon. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You know, we had communion. Remember when we were having communion? I said, get ready, because this is going to be in the message. When we receive communion, what are we doing? We're receiving our entrance into a covenant made between Jesus and the Father, not a deal that we make with them, but they let us in on a deal they've made with each other. And that is to put us under the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sin. So let me tell you something about the devil's accusations. Are you ready? They don't matter. Stop listening to the devil's accusations, even the ones that aren't lies, that actually have some basis in truth. Stop listening to the devil and you will overcome him. Because even if he is right, that you're a no good, lazy bum, that you're a cheating, no good, this, whatever he says about you. See, it doesn't matter because God's not looking at you anyway. If it's up to you to make it to heaven, you ain't going. He's not looking at you. And so the way you defend against what the devil says is when he says, you're not worthy, you go, got that right. But thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for the fact that I'm made clean, not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done. Thank you that I am forgiven. Thank you that none of my sin is going to be held against me. Thank you for the power of this covenant that you've invited me to join in on that causes God to not ever look at me again, but only at you and your blood on me. Do you see that? So sometimes the devil's trying to get us to shut up and we're cooperating because we feel like we deserve to shut up. We deserve to be stopped. We don't deserve to win this battle. We don't deserve to fight this fight. We're not good enough. And so we stop trying. Like, why even try? The devil's right. I'm such a... Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Think I'll go eat worms. Great big fat ones. Great big juicy ones. Think I'll go eat worms. Stuff I used to sing when I was a kid. So, our defensive weapon is his blood. But that's not the one I'm most excited about this morning, because I didn't ever quite see this in a way to explain this before, and I feel like I've got an explanation of the second weapon, the offensive weapon. Because see, they overcame him with what? The blood of the Lamb and with the word of their testimony. The word of our testimony is an offensive weapon. The word of our testimony is when we're speaking the life that God has put into us and we're letting it out. That's why when someone says something to us and we respond with love and kindness, we're actually speaking according to the word of our testimony, or as some people call it, the witness of who God is and what God has done for us. When I start to witness about how God has touched my life, when I start to talk about what he's done for me, when I start to verbalize it and get it out there, which, by the way, verbalization is good for you. There is a verbal advantage. You should pray out loud too. I found when I pray out loud, sometimes I go, oh, what did I just say? Do I really want that? Like, wait a minute. Then I start to pray in the Spirit, because I can't pray wrong when I'm praying in the Spirit. Sometimes when I hear myself say something, I realize, oh. But it also encourages me when I say it right, and I start to see what God is up to, and I start to get in sync with what God is doing. When we begin to use this offensive weapon and we begin to let our witness out, our testimony, his testimony in us, his word that is entered into us. Have you ever had a good verse from the Bible that just got in you and then you just started finding you were sharing it with people? That's part of the witness. When we start doing that, we break Satan's power over ourselves. And over others. His word will not go out and return to him void without accomplishing that which he sent it to do. According to Isaiah. I believe it was Isaiah that said that. You see, when I become a witness, I become very dangerous. It's one thing for Satan to beat me down and make me feel bad about myself and keep me from talking to anybody else. I might still be okay. You know, I'll probably make it to heaven. But when I start blabbing the goodness of God, when I start witnessing to what he's done for me, when I start sharing about how he's affected my life, when I can't stop talking about it, I start beating people up because they start hearing something that's uplifting. And it takes that which is negative, gets it out of them, and brings into them life, because the witness is full of life. I've probably said it a million times. You all know that I became an on-fire Christian just before I turned 14. I had been to the altar many times, but on February 7th, 1971, I went to the altar. And then this guy started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he wouldn't say speaking in tongues because he knew those Methodists would freak out if he did. But he knew about it. I know he did. And by Thursday, of that week, I was in the service, and there were these people up front, and I could hear them speaking in languages that I didn't know. And I went forward, sat on the front row, 14-year-old kid, just turned 14 that day. It was my 14th birthday, Thursday of that week. Put my hands like this, sat, just watching. Suddenly this lady turns around, and she says, "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And I'd prayed and asked God for it, so I just assumed I had gotten it, but nothing had happened. I said, "Yeah." "Would you like to speak in tongues, or have you spoken in tongues?" I said, "No." "Would you like to?" I said, "Yeah." And the next thing I know, they're praying for me, and I'm speaking in tongues. Best 14th birthday I ever had. And so because I've become a believer and been a believer now for 54 years and 9 days, I have had a lot of experiences about which I can testify. I have a witness because God's done a lot in my life. Has God done a lot in your life? If God's done a lot in your life, do you think you ought to be telling people what God's done in your life? Well, we should. But sometimes we've been beat down because of all the stupid stuff that we've done, so the accuser of the brethren has kept us quiet and we aren't doing anything. But see, when we start witnessing, he gets really nervous. He'll accuse you more because he wants you to stop, but the more you witness, the more you testify, the more you talk about what God is doing in your life and has done in your life, well, that puts the devil in a really bad spot. You know, I was thinking about this, and at a minimum, I have 19,733 experiences that I can testify about. You say, what? 19,733 days have passed since I became an on-fire Christian. And God's been there every day. Hasn't he? Well, the devil would like to make me think he hasn't, but God has been there every day. And you know me, I'm the crazy guy. I'm always saying, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, "Have a good day." And I always say, "Can't, it's unavoidable." Why? Because God's with me every day. I hardly ever go into a store where I don't have someone say, "Have a nice day." And I say, "It's unavoidable." And that is my testimony. That's my witness. And sometimes I get a chance to witness to people. Sometimes I get a chance to share with them that God has been good to me for now 19,733 days, except that number doesn't really account for the fact that every day of my life, God has been good to me. But I should have started recognizing it 19,733 days ago, and I probably should have written something down every day. Can you imagine what your journal would look like if the first day that you got saved, you started writing down a witness of what God did for you that day? You looked for what God did for you that day, and then 19,733 entries would be amazing. I could try to figure out how many weeks that is or how many months that is. It's still a whole lot of witnessing going on. Every day I've had something that would have been worthy of saying God was good to me today. Every day, I would, if I would look for it, if I wouldn't get down in the mully grubs because there was a devil accusing me. My life is a witness. My life is a witness to him and his goodness. And he has been better to me than I deserve. So much better. And that's true of every believer. That's why we have this commandment. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to all nations." I know sometimes we think that's not for us. That's for some preacher to do. But the idea there isn't to get up and teach some big theological whatever. The idea is to get up and tell what God's done for me. The idea is to be a witness everywhere I go. You know, if you saw that movie a while back, remember when it came out, that Jesus movie, the Jesus Movement movie? That was what we did. We were nuts back then. When you got saved back then, you got a witness. And when you got a witness, you shared it with everybody. And that's what I did. I went to school and told all my friends. Pretty soon they didn't like me anymore. Didn't stop me. I kept sharing my witness and my witness and my witness. You know, almost all of my friends now, I see them every once in a while down in the hills. I go down and we'll go down to visit Lisa's mama, and I'll call the guys and we'll get together, and almost every one of them serving the Lord. None of them were when I was 14. Almost every one of them is now. I know I didn't do that, but I know I played a part in it because I witnessed every one of them, and I'm still witnessing to them when I go and see them. I'm telling them how good God is. Matthew 24:14 says, "This good news will be preached to all the nations as a witness." Witness. You got good news. Let it out. Boy, you know, I know a lot of people who know how to complain. Do you know the witness is just the opposite of complaining? The witness is building others up with what you say rather than inviting them into your mully grubs or whatever you want to call it. When you look at the word witness in the New Testament, you also realize that it comes from, I should say, the same root, the same basic word. Testimony and witness are the same thing. So if I say, "Have you got a testimony this morning?" It just means you're witnessing something God did. You're just talking about who God's been. Sometimes we think a testimony has to be, "Oh, I raised some dead guy," or, you know, "I did this miracle," or "God put it on my heart and I gave somebody some money," or "I helped somebody out here," or "I bought the coffee for the person behind me." All those are good, by the way. Don't stop testifying about that. But you realize that just his goodness to you every day is a testimony. This is about to get fun, though. Because we are witnesses who testify to the life of Christ in us, and if the life of Christ is in us, then we should have something to testify to every moment of every day. And when we find ourselves testifying to the stupid coworker or the boss who didn't treat me right or this teacher who did blah, 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 we're testifying. No, no. We are supposed to be testifying of Christ. We are witnesses of Christ. Yeah, I've witnessed some pretty stupid stuff, but that's not what I'm supposed to witness. That's not what I'm supposed to share as my witness. My witness is what he's doing. Our words and our lives can speak in ways that overcome doubts and fears and sickness and disease and lies and malicious gossip and anything the accuser of the brethren throws at us. And I could go on and on and on, because some of you have heard my testimonies. I've got a lot of them. I'm so thankful the Lord got in the middle of stuff that I was doing. He got in the way of a lot of stuff I was doing. He got in the way when we bought our first house, and it was a good thing that he got in the way because it worked out really good. He got in the way of me buying cars a few times, and one time he didn't let me, and the other time he directed me to the right one. And, you know, God's been there along the way, because I try to let him be in on every decision, and it's amazing what happens if you let God in on every decision. Pretty soon, every decision is a witness. Every decision becomes a testimony. Everything that I do. Now, keep this in mind. This is going to get better in just a minute. I want to make sure you understand something this morning. This is not condemnation for where we've failed. If I'm going to go there, I will be just as condemned as you. This is not condemnation. This is an invitation. You're being invited this morning into something that the witness does for you, that the testimony does for you and those around you and your family. As our witness is released, the power of the good news is released. As our witness, who is Christ, is released, the power of that witness goes before us, follows behind us, it surrounds us. And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, knowing the blood of the Lamb, defensive weapon, knowing that, yeah, I know what you're saying, but the blood washed me. The blood washed me. We overcome him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. I'm washed. No condemnation for me now, because I'm in Christ Jesus. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The offensive weapon. The offensive weapon then begins to take effect on the atmosphere around us. And because we're focused on being a witness and having a witness and thinking about our witness, we enter into the witness protection program. Because when we're witnessing for him, we're overcoming everything that's coming against us. When we enter into a state of wanting to be a witness of him in everything we do and everywhere we go. So a witness at work, part of that is doing a good job. Don't just stand by the water cooler and blab to people about Jesus. You can be a good witness to Christ. And then when you, by the way, if you're a great worker and people can count on you, and then you say something about Christ, they're way more interested in that Christ than if you're a lousy worker. You got the picture? When I start to walk as a witness, I start to overcome the devil. What am I overcoming? Everything the devil has. What does the devil have? Sickness, disease, all that nasty stuff, right? He's trying to make us miserable. He's trying to make people we love miserable. He's trying to make people we don't love miserable. Sometimes we might want to let that happen, but that's not the idea, see? We can beat them up. We can bless them. We can touch them. And the witness of God begins to get bigger. And when you kill them with kindness, somebody once said, they will come back to you. They will resurrect. And they will tell you they're sorry. It happens a lot. You say, does it always happen? No, probably not. But I've had a lot of people that have had to come back. What if someone's breakthrough is just one testimony away? What if your breakthrough is the testimony that they need to hear? Your witness is their breakthrough. What if your breakthrough is waiting on your testimony? What if your breakthrough is just one testimony away for you to get a breakthrough? I'm not saying it'll always be that way, but I'm telling you, there are times when we've got a testimony, that we've got something we could say for God, and we hold it back. We hold it back. Why would we want to do that? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Our testimony should never be held back. You know, maybe at some point somebody will say, I want you to shut up now. It has happened to me. I've told you, Tommy had me against the backstop with his fist like this. He says, if you don't quit talking about Jesus, I'm going to kill you. Probably didn't say kill. I'm going to mash your face. I don't know what he said for sure. He was holding me. And I said, Tommy, I can't stop talking about Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And Tommy's like, and walked out of the dugout. He wanted to hit me. While I can't guarantee that just one testimony is going to give you the full breakthrough, I do know that the key to overcoming is a life that's filled with the witness. It's filled with the witness of the goodness of God. And I'm not going to have near as much success overcoming the enemy by moaning and complaining or holding back. I'm going to have a wonderful breakthrough The more I witness, the greater my breakthrough. That's why I call it the Witness Protection Program, because if I continue to walk as his witness in my life, I believe he's going to have my back. I believe he's going to have my side. I believe he's going to lead me and guide me. I believe I'll be surrounded more by, and the more I recognize his presence, the more his presence will become real to me. Does this make sense to anybody but me? Okay, good. I saw a lot of nodded heads. So, what if right now is a time for somebody to get a breakthrough? Can I get a witness? What if right now is time for somebody to get a breakthrough? Maybe you could get up right now and just share some little good thing that the Lord did this week. And you could testify how God was just good to you. And then your testimony that seems like it's not important lands on the ears of somebody, maybe somebody live streaming right now. And suddenly you've helped them with an overcoming witness. You've helped them with an overcoming testimony. Or maybe you do it because you want to help somebody else. You just want to share a testimony. You don't think it's going to do anything for you. And what if that's the instant where the thing that's been holding you back, sickness, disease, frustration, disappointment, whatever it is that's been holding you back, what if that's where it breaks right there? What if it breaks out because you got up and shared your testimony? See, I'm going to tell you something. I've been thinking about this lately. I've been wondering, is it possible we should have services where the preacher doesn't get to preach because there's just too many testimonies? I think that could be useful. I think that could be good. I think that could be powerful. So we're not going to shut the camera off right now. We're live streaming. Come on, can I get a witness? Come on. Who's got a witness? Who can tell me something? Can say something about the Lord's goodness to you? Who can tell me? I was going to say, good thing you're coming, Mike, because I was going to tell everybody you told me you had one. Come on. I ought to be able to walk through the crowd, stick this mic in front of your face, and you give me a witness. Tell us, Mike, what's the testimony?
Well, I had a couple unexpected events that happened 2 weeks ago. First of all, I got a check from my electric company that they overcharged me a year ago, and they reimbursed me.
Yay.
Second of all, I've been working with the VA since September? And I've got a few issues. When I got out of the service, I was getting 10% disability because of the surgery they did. And I'm having a little bit of issues now. And come to find out that they raised my disability from 10% to 30%. And they gave me back pay back into October. So God is good.
Amen. Hey, reach your hands out this way. Reach your hands out this way. So, Lord, I think that's just the beginning. I think it's just the beginning that you are getting ready to do more for Mike, and that his testimony will be a breakthrough for others, I pray, but also for himself. I pray that he'll get the breakthrough that he needs, healing for his body, strength for him, Lord. Just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, who else? Somebody else, come. Tell me, God, can I get a witness? Come on. There's got to be more than one or two or three or four. There should be. Everybody should be fighting to get to this microphone because this might be your breakthrough. Might be your breakthrough.
I have been addicted to sugar for...
Ever.
Ever, yeah. And I would try to stop for a while. I would ask God to help me every time. And it wasn't until 7 months ago that he really gave me what I feel is like the keys to really help me. And I no longer am addicted to it. And I no longer have inflammation. I feel like I could run a marathon, even though not with this knee. There's no way I could ever run, but I do have the energy, and I just thank God that he's with me every day, helping me to say no, because I'm still tempted, but he's really helped me to say no. And as of today, he's helped me lose 86 pounds.
All right, stay. 86 pounds. We have a picture of her next to our 10-year-old granddaughter. She's lost more than our 10-year-old granddaughter. Stretch your hands out this way. And some of you get ready. I still need another testimony or two before we close. Lord Jesus, I thank you for wisdom. You give that. It said, the scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not refuse to give it to them. So thank you for it, Lord. You've given her wisdom for what she needs for her body. And for that, we are thankful. And I pray that as others hear this, that they will be given that hope, that they too can see breakthrough in areas of addiction and in areas of struggle. And we give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. I gotta have another. I gotta have another. Come on. Yeah. Here comes the raise testimony. Joyce. Couple months. Okay. Another couple months before another raise.
Well, kind of on that same aspect there, I'm going to say, even though it was, you know, the doctor had done something, but you know, over the years, I have tried to lose weight doing different, a million things, and nothing worked. And now the doctor that I am going to now, he gave me a sample and said, here, try this. And this has been probably about 14 months, I think, and I've lost about 60 pounds. So
cool.
Until then, I didn't lose an ounce for doing even everything right. I mean, I'd walk 2 miles a day and not lose any weight. And I'd drink water instead of pop and not lose any weight. So finally, okay. We found something.
So stretch your hands out this way. So, Lord, that's the testimony of two or three. That's interesting. We have two here that are testifying that there are ways. There may be somebody watching, Lord, who feels like they don't have a prayer. Maybe somebody in the room that feels like they don't have a prayer. But there is, Lord, and the condemnation of the enemy, the lies that he brings, they don't count. The accuser of their brethren is a liar, and you are one who helps your people, and you give breakthroughs to us, Lord. You give us the ability to overcome by the word of our testimony. And so we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, one more. Don't make this hard. Okay, here comes one. Yeah.
Michael Blank is your
What's that?
If I go blank, it's your fault.
If you go blank?
You know, I always tend to go blank.
You don't go blank.
This was a little while ago, too. My son, Kevin, lives in a condo in Florida, and it's a real big condo, like four buildings and four floors or something, five floors. And he was president of the condo association, and there was a lot of fighting and infighting going along. And the last one of the meetings he went to, and they was trying to get something done, and it just got so bad. Even he was shocked at the vile language and the tempers that were flaring. Some guy had a gun, and they had to have another meeting in 2 days. So I told him I'd pray. And I called him the morning after that meeting. He says, I can't believe it. He says, it was just so quiet. And he says, people were listening and they weren't just arguing. And as far as he knew, nobody got a gun.
Oh, good. Stretch your hands out this way. Now, Lord, I just thank you for this witness of prayer answered. And you are a God who answers prayer. And so I pray that people who are praying some things right now that may feel like they can't do anything and their prayers are unimportant or unvaluable or however we say that, Lord, I pray that we'll all, from this witness, get the idea that we can make a difference. We can make a difference. And I pray that this witness will make a difference for someone in this congregation, maybe someone online. And moreover, I pray that this witness will also make a difference for Joan, Lord, as you bless her. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's my question. What if in the next couple of days, someone brings something up and you think, they don't want to hear it. I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if they would respond if I said that. Listen, I want you to realize the witness protection program is there for you. God's witness protection program is waiting on you to let him do what he wants to do for you and for those that you come in contact with. So let's all stand up. Lord, I just pray, even if someplace halfway through this message, it was hard for someone to hear, even if they checked out, I pray that the word will go forth as your word says and will work something in their life. I pray, Lord, that the people of God in this day will find again the urgency that we have had in the past sometimes to share our testimony, our witness. I pray that we will find ourselves as we witness, seeing you bless and bless and bless, that we will release blessing over others, that we will release blessing over ourselves as we witness to what you've done and your goodness. And so I pray this for every person in this room, Lord, every person who will hear this message, maybe online sometime or maybe years from now because it's still up on a video. I pray that we'll get this, Lord, deep down into us, and we will become your witnesses everywhere we go. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen.